Yeah, no, fully. And then she packed up everything and moved to New Zealand.
All right, then.
I know. Like, good for her, but also bad for me. I need a new lady doctor. If anybody has any recommendations.
That's the advertisement on this episode.
It's not an advertisement.
It's not an ad. It's just ad.
It's just me.
It's a wanted ad for us. This episode of Who Is My Doctor is brought to you by Cassie, who needs a new lady doctor.
Cassie, who needs so many doctors, but I don't have awesome insurance. Will that be this week's ad? It's just me putting out
this
a help wanted ad.
This might
ad.
Be the intro for the episode. I don't know if it'll be the actual ad. Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I am your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie, and I don't know a lot about Doctor Who.
And today we're looking at the two-part season finale of Series 2.
Eep!
Army of Ghosts and Doomsday.
Yikes!
Yeah, really, really some dramatic titling with that Doomsday.
Lord of the Rings, Two Towers? Which is the one with the army of ghosts?
That's Return of the King.
Return of the King.
So, yes, we are looking at the last story with Rose Tyler today. And so we'll be getting into that a little bit.
A storm is coming.
Are you, how are you?
Can't you feel it, Rose? Can't you feel it or smell it?
Can you feel it, Mr. Krabs?
Can you feel it, Rose Tyler?
So how are you feeling about coming up to the end of Rose here?
I'm anxious about it, okay?
Anxious a little bit about it?
I'm a little anxious about it. I'm not going to lie, because I like Rose.
Yeah, she definitely has her high moments and her low moments. I think her first season is much stronger than this season.
I disagree.
Oh, really?
Well, just because I feel like in the first season, she is very, for lack of a better word, silly. Like, it's very much the, like, she is very wide-eyed and not knowing, like, anything.
Mm-hmm.
And by this season, like, she knows more. Yeah. She takes more initiative. She does get captured way more in this season, which is a little upsetting. Just because anytime a woman gets captured, I go into true crime mode, and it makes me angry.
Yeah, a little Princess Peach syndrome there a little bit, too.
Oh, my God. Wait, Doctor Who is Mario Mario?
It's a me, Doctor Who.
Ooh, yikes.
So I was me trying to do David Tennant.
God.
Didn't come out very well.
Doctor Mario. No, Captain Jack is Luigi Mario.
I mean, there is a Doctor Mario game.
I know, but what you heard there, folks, was my brain getting stuck, much like a record, and I could not get the needle.
Your brain was skipping.
I could not get the needle to go on the track that it needed to.
Well, let's get into the Cassie for Fassie today and see if we can get your brain unstuck that way. So obviously we'll have the two here for Army of Ghosts, and we'll have two more for Doomsday.
Oh shit. Yeah, I need it in my notebook. I forgot I actually do writing in these first parts of the episode. Whoops. Just to catch everybody up, my running total right now is 25 out of 44. Maybe 26 out of 44, depending on if I get the point for Satan Pit.
We already gave you the point for Satan Pit. We gave you that last episode.
If I get another point for Satan Pit for some reason.
Yeah, you already got the point for that. You can't go milking points.
I think I can. I think the people are on my side.
Well, we will see how they feel. I'll give you both questions up front, and you can decide which one you want to answer first. How about that?
Sure, sounds great.
Okay, so obviously the titular Army of Ghosts is because there is an army of ghosts.
What?
There is an army of ghosts, a human-like ghost that just wander around the world for a few minutes every day.
You mean me on my lunch breaks?
Yeah, it's millennials.
Me during the 10, not 15 minutes that I get when I work under 5.5 hours.
Yeah.
To wander about eating a single piece of dry toast and a cup of cold coffee that I made in the morning.
No, these are much more ghostly ghosts. They are translucent. They have like an ethereal aura around them.
Zach, stop flattering me. Tell me more about these ghosts.
So the question for you is, the ghosts are a group that you have met before. And you're going to guess who that what that group is. But I will give you the second question first just so you can think about both of these.
Okay, because I already had a theory.
Okay. Do you want to go ahead and give it then?
No, because I forgot what they're called. So...
Okay. Well, I will say then the second question is, this episode also sees the return of another companion you've already met.
I know it's not canine.
Would you like to take a guess as to who the companion... So I'll let you answer both of these questions when you feel prepared to answer them.
All right. I'm cashing in my first answer.
Okay.
It's the Gelf.
From the
Christmas Carol episode.
Yes, I'm also blanking on it. From The Unquiet Dead. That's the name of it.
The Unquiet Dead.
Yes, from the episode, from episode 3 of series 1, the Gelf is her guest, the ghost-like Gelf aliens.
The sci-fi ghosts.
Yes. And then, again, we see the return of a companion you've already met as well. You have a few limited options on that one, so.
Yeah, the worst part is, I only remember Canine and Sarah Jane Smith. That's her name, right?
Yep, you're right. Sarah Jane Smith.
I was correct. I get half a point for getting the name correct.
Do you want to give you a brief rundown of all the companions you've met?
Yeah.
Okay. So in order of the ones you met Rose. I don't think she really counts because we said returning companion.
Yeah.
You had Adam is one of them. You had Sarah Jane, Canine, and Mickey.
Adam doesn't fucking count, okay?
Adam doesn't fucking count then? Okay, well, that narrows it down to Sarah Jane, Canine, and Mickey.
I know. I'm going to say Mickey.
Mickey? Okay, so this is...
Yeah, because I had that thought originally. I didn't know if you counted him as
a
companion.
And it's also why I wanted to give you the full summation.
Wait, oh no, but I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to remember in episodes past when he left, if you said that was indeed the last time we met Mickey. No, and I can't listen back to the episodes. We're on a time limit. And that's cheating, technically. Is it?
I'll tell you this. It's not the last time we meet Mickey. Mickey shows up in a future episode.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, so I'm cashing in on Mickey.
Mickey? Okay, so Cassie's guesses are that Mickey returns from the parallel Earth for this adventure, and also that the ghosts wandering around the planet Earth are the Gelf from Series 1, Episode 3, The Unquiet Dead.
I swear to God, if it's Sarah Jane Smith, because that's the name I said first, I'm going to...
Scream.
Riot. Burn the house down.
Well, we'll find out together if Cassie burns the house down after we watch Series 2, Episode 12, Army of Ghosts.
Return of the King.
This week's episode of Who Was My Doctor is brought to you by the letter B for boobies. Of the blue-footed variety. Fun fact about the blue-footed booby, they don't actually build nests. They just lay their eggs on the cold, hard ground and then defecate around it. And so when the baby birds are hatched, they are surrounded by shit. Shit nests. That's a real fact. Back to the episode.
And we are back from Army of Ghosts.
My nasty boys, they're back, baby.
Yes, this is a sort of a crossover episode.
Woo!
A crossover story that'll be finished up next episode, where the Doctor has to face both the Cybermen and the Daleks.
Which, Just, I'm so proud of myself. I had such a good moment while we were watching. I went, hey, we haven't seen any Daleks this season. That's a contractual obligation.
It
that
is
there
indeed.
Is that there is a Daleks.
There is, there has to be at least a Dalek.
In every season. And so I was right.
Yes, indeed you were.
Start. Except for the one thing I was very wrong. It was not the Gelf.
It is funny that you say that, though, because when the titles were released for the episodes, there was a theory that the Army of Ghosts was going to be the Gelf. So you're not right.
I'm getting on the same page as other people.
You're becoming a Whovian.
Do not ever fucking call me that, okay? No, do not. I disown
that. One of us.
Shut up. I'm in full support of the Daleks. 100%. Anti-doctor, full Dalek.
Oh, so you're just into Dalek. You're into Dalek mania.
Zachary, I know where you sleep. I'm gonna come at you
you're
in the black
person.
Of some. I'm gonna come at you in the black of some terrible night with a sharp reckoning. Fun fact: that is a line from a show, from a play. If anybody gets it, they get a point.
I mean, I know we have at least one. Listener.
It's a theater. It's a theatrical.
We have one listener who I know has reached out to me that hosts a musical theater podcast. So,
oh my god, it's not musical theater though, Zach.
But what I mean is, like, he's a theater boy. He might get it.
If you get it right, you get a point.
you get one of Cassie's points.
You get. Oh. Sure. No, I'll just...
God, can you imagine just like 25 people messaging you with the right answer and have to give away all your points?
They say, should I just spoil it for myself so nobody takes my point?
No, they don't get your points. Your points will live on. It's just a funny little bit.
They'll get a picture of me straight cheesing.
So, any first thoughts on this first episode? I know we're going to do a whole overview of the story next time.
Just the doctor saying, oh yeah, this is Rose. She makes great tea. Well, she makes tea. It's kind of good. Like, dude, that's what brought you back from the dead was Jackie's thermos of tea that she insisted on bringing onto the TARDIS.
Yeah,
she doesn't make kind of good tea, my dude.
She's very good at tea. Well, I say very good. I mean, not bad. Well, I'll say not bad. Anyway, lead on.
Yeah, like, dude, come on, man. Like, we're bagging on Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
Is fun. But Jackie's tea is what brought you back from the dead, you British fuck. Do you want me to get angry about tea again? Because I'll get angry about tea again.
Although, speaking of Jackie, did you pick up on that little... There was a nice little moment where...
Jackie had a mom moment where she was worried about Rose and what she'll do when she's dead in the ground.
She was seeming to be more worried about Rose changing because she keeps traveling and eventually she won't be human anymore. And there's a part of me that's like, Jackie, even if she stays on Earth, she's going to be changing over time. That's just a human state of being.
Yeah, hey, Jackie, that's just kind of what happens.
Just because you haven't changed in your entire life, apparently.
Yeah, just because you have not changed in the past 19 years... doesn't mean, because then also, like, wouldn't you want your daughter to evolve into something more than human?
Yeah.
Like, because I had the thought, because I did write down that it was a very mom thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, like, at least in my experience, the mom concern is, what are you going to do when I'm dead? And why don't you want children? That is who will take care of you when you're old.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to say, I'm not moving to another state. So you're going to have to find somebody else's kids to take care of you. And that was a therapy moment with Cassie. Oh, but just the beginning of this is the story of how I died. Very Bella Swan.
Very, very melodramatic. Very soap opera.
Very not actual death. I'm going to cash in that other. No, it's not an actual prophecy.
Well, why don't we make it a prophecy here? Because that it does relate to one of my questions here.
Okay. I don't think Rose is actually dead. I think she's.
Okay.
I think it is that, like, a melodramatic, almost teen thing of like, oh my God, like, my life is over. This thing that I had is gone now.
Okay, well, if this is the story, so if we're saying it's not how she died then. Why
don't
do you
fucking ask me how she dies? I don't know.
No, we're saying she doesn't die. Why do you think Rose leaves the TARDIS in this case then?
I think Jackie's gonna die.
You think Jackie's gonna die?
Yeah,
and so she...
I think so. Well, because like, why else? But then if she does die, like, then there's no reason for Rose to, like, stay on Earth and not be with the Doctor. But also, why else would Jackie be here in this episode unless something happens to her?
Well, it's entirely your call.
Oh my God, I hate...
You hate the Cassie Professor.
I hate the Cassie Professor. This stupid. It's a stupid bit. Do a bit I like. Who is my Doctor?
No, we don't get to that for a couple more seasons.
Oh my God. Jackie's a Yorkie, though. I know we said Rose is the Yorkie. Jackie's
they can both
a Yorkie.
Be Yorkies.
No. No. Rose is like a...
Like a Shih Tzu?
No, because she's investigating. She's like a Chihuahua. She's a Chihuahua.
All right. Yeah. So the Cassie Professor is that Rose...
What
in
were your
morning...
actual questions? What were
no,
your
that
actual
was one of my
questions.
Questions.
Oh, fuck. Dip. Okay. That's not my answer. That's not my answer. I need a drink of water while I think about my answer. Fuck. Ah, dip. I don't know. Do I have to say specifically what happens to Jackie?
You don't
have
to be
specific.
You don't have to be specific about it. You can.
Something happens to Jackie that like incapacitates her.
Okay. So something.
Jackie is incapacitated, not dead. Incapacitated.
And Rose is going to like stay to take care of her.
Yes.
Okay. So
linking back to what I just said.
Okay. So that
my own experience.
Okay. So the first Cassie Professor of the next episode. Is that Rose Tyler leaves the TARDIS to stay behind and take care of Jackie. After Doomsday really takes a toll on her in some way or another. We could be open-ended about that. She might be sick. She might be concussed. She might be dead, but we'll find out.
I just said incapacitated. And I realize as I spelled it out, that's another word I can't spell.
Can we just spell it for you?
No. I've had so many people try to teach me how to spell restaurant. Do not know how to spell it. Will never know. Even my like autocorrect on my phone does not understand.
Restaurant.
No. It says restart.
All right. And the second question, I originally had one in here that I'm not as big a fan of anymore because I thought of a better one while watching the last episode. So we know this episode is a crossover between Cyberman and Dalek. How do you think the Cybermen and the Daleks are going to get along?
I don't think they do.
You don't think they get along at all?
No, because Dalek's whole thing is exterminate anything that is not Dalek.
Okay.
Cybermen super isn't Dalek.
All right.
Cybermen want everything to be Cybermen.
You don't think they'll have any sort of like united front against the Doctor?
No.
Okay.
Well, now that you said united front against the Doctor, because they both want Doctor... out of the picture, but their overall goals are different because Dalek don't want more Dalek. They want everything gone.
Well, all right, then we will see.
Fuck, I'm not done, okay. Zach. I'm explaining.
Oh, sorry. It felt like such a dramatic finish.
I'm explaining.
It felt like such a dramatic finish. I thought you were done.
No, that was not that was an incomplete thought, my love.
Okay, go ahead.
It's been happening with my brain more and more. I have a thought. And sometimes it just sounds like that.
All right. Well, do you want to go ahead? I'll go ahead and finish
your
professor.
Wait, so Dalek want everything to be Dalek. Cybermen want, or no, Dalek want everything gone. Exterminate. Cybermen want everyone to be Cyberman.
Yeah. Exterminate versus assimilate.
Because I don't think that they will join forces and be happy-go-lucky with each other. I do think that they both will... They're both after the Doctor, but I don't think that they'll work together to go after the Doctor.
Okay, I think that's fair. So basically your general summation is they will not cooperate.
No.
Okay, that works.
They happen to have the same goal. They will not help each other.
Okay, so the Daleks and the Cybermen will not get along as the second part of the Professor for this series finale of Doomsday. We'll find out together as we watch Doomsday. Thank you. And we are back from Doomsday.
Daleks have no concept of elegance.
One of my favorite scenes in all of Doctor Who is the Daleks and Cybermen meeting and just having a real sass off.
Designate the least important.
So let's just start off with...
Oh my god, Dalek v. Cybermen. I still stand by my little guys. They're horrible. Awful.
Horrible
old
space Nazi
them.
Squids.
Oh my god, I hate them so much. But when they get angry and they just kind of wiggle in
around.
Place. It's so stupid. Oh man.
So I guess just so we don't forget, let's talk about the Cassie-Perfassi up top.
Correct and wrong.
Yeah, you were right and wrong. 50% on both episodes. The Daleks and Cybermen did not get along.
Oh my god, because the Cybermen even tried to...
Together, we could upgrade the universe. You propose an alliance? This is correct. Request denied.
You are superior at only one facet. And they make them set it up for them. It's like,
what is that?
You are better at dying.
Oh my god.
It's so silly. Because it just feels like schoolyard bullies like teasing one another.
But they're so lethal.
Yeah. You know, where it's like, Daleks have no concept of elegance. And like, that is obvious. Just like Mean Girls. Just
that's so funny.
Catty Mean Girls back and forth.
Oh my.
Yeah, so that was correct. However, Rose is not staying behind to take care of Jackie.
No.
She is stranded in a parallel universe.
No. I mean, I was correct in that she's not.
She's with Jackie.
Well, no, because I said she's not dead. She's not actually dead.
Yeah, no, Jackie is not dead, but she.
Well, no, like neither is Rose.
Neither is
I
Rose.
Said that at the beginning, yes. That Rose isn't dead. This is Tumblr Twilight.
Right.
She is a 20-year-old who is grieving, like hardcore grieving,
mm-hmm.
But she is not actually dead.
No, she
in
is
her
not.
In her parallel universe.
Yeah, she
in her
she,
universe.
She is officially dead in her universe, but she is not literally.
But
dead.
That's only because she's missing.
Yes, exactly. So we're 50-50 on both episodes today. So that's two more points.
I mean, I am really proud of myself for knowing that space Nazis and how would you describe the Cybermen?
Borg, the Borg. From Star Trek.
We can't use another space reference because you said Borg and I thought you meant Borg.
Borg, Borg, Borg.
Yeah, that's Cybermen have nothing in common with Swedish Chef.
Well, they have one thing in common.
What is that?
They're both better at dying.
Oh, we don't know. Swedish Chef is a Muppet. I don't think Muppets can die. The only one we've kind of seen die is Rizzo, but that's only because he just doesn't show up in anything anymore.
Yeah. They don't die. They just regenerate. They look the same, but they sound different.
But only kind of different. Not totally.
Yeah.
Do you know who doesn't sound different?
Who?
Dalek.
Yes.
Dalek and K-9.
So let's back up a little bit just to talk about the story as a whole. Well, actually, no, let's not talk about the story just yet. Let's just get your overall thoughts. How did you like the...
So I made this statement after we'd wrapped up the episode. You know when I enjoy an episode because I literally have four bullet points, one of which is designate the least important. And the other is Daleks have no concept of elegance.
We've already wrapped through 50% of your points.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime you're really invested in an episode, you don't really take a lot of notes down.
I don't have anything to nitpick. No.
Yeah. I'm glad you're having a good time.
Well, anytime you have my nasty boys, my little guys, I gotta pay attention to them. They scare me. I'm so frightened. When they said kneel, I went, this is both Dalek and Ascended Astarian? Huh. I'm frightened, but also so happy.
So let's start off at the top now and come back to the story a little bit. So the episode opens with the Doctor and Rose coming to Earth to discover that ghosts are everywhere.
And the fact that Rose's first response is, oh my God, my mom's going mad.
Yeah, because Jackie is convinced that it is her father who died 10 years ago.
Which I do... I did like, I like the logic of that these like beings before the Doctor even knows what they are manipulating other humans.
Yes.
And making things more psychosomatic than they actually are. But the entire time, or like from the get-go, and I didn't say anything about it because I had a hunch, but I didn't want to be wrong. But I should have said something because I was right. All of the ghosts were the exact same shape and size.
Yeah.
And they were all shades of gray.
Yeah. The only thing they weren't doing, and I'm sure it was deliberately not to get anyone to, like, figure it out too soon, was they weren't doing the really, like, militaristic marching step that Cybermen do.
No, but they also didn't move a whole lot.
Yeah, no. Or if they did, it was their legs were kind of blurry. So they obfuscated it in a good way, but I
yeah. There was enough clues from the get-go that help you as the viewer recognize that these are not ghosts. These are something different.
Yes.
I'm so pleased that I was correct about Mickey. I made yes. another note that confidence is a good look for Mickey.
Yeah, he really seems to have really turned around. When he shows up, he...
Oh my God, he's so suave.
Yeah.
He's the Captain Jack of this episode. Yeah,
he's got like his shit together.
Yeah.
In a way that he hasn't.
He's got a nice clean buzz as well.
He just needed to get away from Rose for a little while.
His edges so crisp, so clean, so sharp.
So the doctor, of course, has a problem with the ghost that no one else seems to, especially the lady on TV who says that she's in love with her ghost, which is quite interesting considering they do not talk.
I mean, it was on like the UK, like.
It looked like UK's Maury.
I was going to say, it's on the UK version of, like, a morning.
Like a Jerry Springer type
yeah,
show.
Yeah, thank you. That's who I'm thinking of.
And so the doctor decides that the thing he's going to do is trap a ghost in a park.
He's going to ghost bust.
So he comes out of...
He literally leaps out of the floor.
Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters!
I ain't no ghosts.
What a silly boy. I will say, this episode confirmed even more how much boyish energy David Tennant has in comparison to Christopher Eccleston.
Yeah, you could tell. David Tennant is
like
a
they
lot
both
bouncier.
Have. He's they both have like a little bit of that shit-eating grin mm-hmm. that like sneaky.
Well, I definitely think that I think at the back half here they've started figuring out way more what separates Tennant's Doctor from Eccleston's because
mm-hmm.
I'm sure that some of these stories were written with Eccleston in mind
mm-hmm.
but after he only lasted one season they were rewritten to adapt for Tennant's Doctor, but that still takes a few episodes to find out and so we really get a lot of that like boyish charm but as soon as he has to get serious it's like dead serious.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like there's like it's almost like a different person when he has to be serious. And I think they really found it with this episode, or with the story, rather.
I agree, particularly since
it does seem very early on that the Doctor kind of has an idea about
what is at stake, which in this case is the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't until much later on that he recognizes that what's at stake is actually Rose, somebody who he's really come to care about.
Yes.
And somebody that he's dependent on or like knows is dependable. Because when Torchwood is wheeling away the TARDIS after he has mistakenly but not upset about it kidnaps Jackie in the TARDIS, pulls her out when they're asking about his companion and says that she's Rose, leaving actual Rose in the TARDIS knowing that she's on the case. Like, having full confidence that, like, she's fine in there. She will either try to figure stuff out from inside or get out and get more information. Which is nice. It feels like when you are, like, working with somebody newer in the beginning, like the new coworker that you're training, you're like, oh, let me just do it. Like, I'll do everything myself. It's fine. But then after like 8 months, you go, oh, wait, yeah, psh, they got it.
Yeah.
They've proven themselves. Like, they don't need me here. I'm fine.
Yeah, it's really nice watching you know, this evolution come through.
Finally.
So after the doctor traps the ghost using his triangles in the park,
his
little pyramid that makes other pyramids.
Well, what would that be? Like,
the Triforce?
Yeah, I was going to say Pyramid Inception, but then I kept on saying period very loudly in my brain, and I couldn't say the word pyramid.
However, the doctor trapping one of the ghosts does alert Torchwood to his presence, and so they simultaneously track each other down. Torchwood finds the doctor in the park, and the doctor tracks down the energy reading where the ghosts are coming from, and so the doctor takes the TARDIS into Torchwood, where he, while they're in there, he starts muttering, like, I should start saying Alonzi more. It's like, I want to find someone named Alonzo so I could say Alonzi, Alonzo.
What a dork.
What a fucking dork. But he, that is the birth of one of his new catchphrases.
It's Alonzi.
Alonzi, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
In the same way that...
what does Alonzi even mean?
I believe it means let's go in... Yes, it's French for let's go.
Okay.
So much in the same way that Eccleston said fantastic a lot.
Hey, you know what? At work, I've been saying fantastic and brilliant more, and I didn't realize it until one day I caught myself, like, after somebody had put their, like, tapped their card, which, for whatever reason, this is just a side tangent. This has nothing to do with Doctor Who. People don't know how to fucking tap their cards on the square screens. Mm-hmm. And I get it's because every screen is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But when I say, oh, yeah, it's higher up to the top, and they're touching it on the actual screen, and I go, nope, higher up, higher up. Let me see your card. And I do it on the first try, not even looking. But sometimes when people do it correctly, I go, oh, brilliant.
Fantastic.
Oh, awesome. Brilliant.
Tennant has a few different catchphrases. I don't know if some of them probably don't feel like catchphrases, but he does say them a lot. One of which you've already probably heard him say a few times. He goes, I'm sorry. I'm so, so sorry. He says that a lot. Anytime he can't save someone, that's his first. I'm sorry. I'm so, so sorry.
Aww.
So he says that a lot. Alonzi is one we've heard.
We can turn that into a drinking game.
A little bit. We might have to.
special episode.
We start getting... Okay. Welcome back to Who is Doctor?
Hey, Zach, who is my doctor?
This is Jack Daniels.
My doctor moved to New Zealand to be closer to her children. That's actually not a lie.
So, yes, the doctor takes the TARDIS into Torchwood, and they meet...
Yvonne Hartman.
Yes, Yvonne Hartman.
She's so pretty.
She's got this, like, auburn hair that's almost like...
Like, but, like, no, it's not even auburn. It's, like, honey colored.
Yeah, it's, like, it's the same color as a Dalek.
I was trying to figure out an 8 word. Oh, man. I can't think of any.
Is there a word for dye that's...
No. Because the only 8 words I know is exfoliate, germinate, and fornicate.
Masturbate!
No. Not here. Not now.
Infatuate!
There we go. But yeah, no, she's stunning. This woman is perfect.
Which is funny, because they originally wanted an older actress to play that character.
No!
But yeah, she's definitely got a good, like, boss bitch, like, aura about her. She's
got a little bit of, like, a Meredith Blake thing going mm-hmm. on, where it's just like, ooh, you're very pretty, you're very scary.
Yes. I could agree with that statement. But especially because when they first greet the Doctor of the TARDIS, they greet him with, like, 8 guns.
And then applause.
And then applause immediately. Like, oh, it's so wonderful to have you here, Doctor.
And you brought the TARDIS! Clap, 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 clap.
Yeah. And then of course, Torchwood knows that the Doctor travels with a companion, so the Doctor reaches in to fish out Rose and instead fishes out Jackie.
I feel like he fishes out Jackie on purpose.
It very well could be.
Because he looks to check and see.
Yeah.
And as he's pulling out Jackie, he doesn't have any kind of reaction that is like, oh no, this isn't Rose. It's more of like a, okay.
Yeah, but then he does introduce Jackie as Rose, who stared into the time vortex and aged 57 years.
She's only 40.
Which is kind of funny that apparently this Jackie is more okay with being 40 than Parallel Universe Jackie was.
Yeah, she was 39 in that one, right?
Yeah, she was 39. She insisted she was 39 in that one. But this is Jackie's okay with it. So I guess that's one improvement Pete gets with this new Jackie.
But he also forgets that this Jackie can argue.
Torchwood starts showing the doctor around, and the doctor went, hang on, if I'm your enemy, does that mean I'm a prisoner? Which is, this is the nicest way I've ever seen a prisoner treated before. Given a full tour of the facilities.
I feel like they have the same attitude towards the doctor as I have with Miss Yvonne Hartman, which is like, we have a lot of respect for you. You frighten us.
You know more than we do.
But we do everything we do for queen and country.
For queen and country.
Yes.
Daleks don't believe in queen and country.
And so as they're showing the doctor around, they show him the void ship, which is just a sphere of nothing.
I'm also really proud of myself because I went, if that's a void ship that is immune to space and time, that 100% means that we're going to have some parallel universe shit happening. Because if that exists in this universe, it had to, there is a tear somewhere.
I mean, you even asked if it was Daleks pretty quickly when you first saw the ship.
Well, because contracts.
Yes. Well, I mean, even then, you looked at the ship and it made you feel Dalek, which was interesting. It does have the same vibe as the bumps that are along the side of the Dalek.
I so just knew. I
could just, in your heart of hearts, you could feel you could feel your boys coming to you.
My little guys.
Yeah.
They're so scary.
So meanwhile, as they're being shown around, there are some employees of Torchwood that are sneaking off to have a quick smooch.
A quick snog, Zach. Get your vernacular
sorry,
correct.
Sorry, a quick snog.
Thank you.
And they're instead attacked by a Cyberman.
A Cyberman that is hiding down what I could only describe as a haunted maze.
Made out of tarp.
Yeah.
It's a hall of mirrors, but instead of mirrors, it's tarps.
It's tarp that make several twists and turns, more than any tarps should. And at the very end is just a wall of tarp, behind which is a red light, indicating that there is danger afoot.
Indicating, stop, don't go down there.
This is my no-no square.
That is the cyber square.
This episode is brought to you by Cyber Square.
Cyber Squarespace.
Uh-oh.
And so the Cybermen start implanting things in their ears. Similar to the little pods they had on Pete's world to control the employees.
To control humans. These are not Cybermen in shape, but they are Cybermen controlled.
Yeah, especially when they pull the thing out of their ear later, you could see that it's a huge, long,
it's like a tapeworm.
Yeah, it's like a tapeworm or what's the thing? Or a lamprey that's like just burrowed into your ear. And then,
I hate lampreys. Why'd you?
That's what it looked like.
I know. I just hate them.
And so it's slowly programming all the people that run the ghost shift into.
Can you explain to me why did they call it ghost shift?
Because when they.
Was it shift like a work shift or like a.
Like a time shift?
I guess that is work shift, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that was more... I think it was just a name space that stuck shift. Socially because it was like they had a shift... It was the shift that the ghosts were on, and then they would turn off later, and they would come back on. So I think it just... That was just a term for it. Mm. I assume it's something that came about not from Torchwood itself, but from what the people were calling it when the ghosts
like
were...
Like the news?
Yeah, like the news... Yeah, exactly. When, like, the news started referring to it as, like, the ghost coming on shift.
My favorite thing is that they're like, yeah, the ghosts, they're harmless, and not 20 seconds later, ghosts turn into Cybermen.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, oh, we think everything's fine.
Everything is safe. These are harmless. Oh, fuck.
Never mind. They're death bots. We were kidding.
Yeah, everybody go inside. Pushes door inside.
Because as the doctor insists that you should not be doing this ghost shift because it tears holes in reality.
Yeah, he starts wearing these. We've never seen them before. 3D glasses.
Yeah, the blue-red 3D glasses.
Like the kind that you would get in a, like... I don't know if you had the same experience. Actually, no, because those ones are decorated. But when Spy Kids 3D came out...
That was exactly what I was thinking of, honestly, was Spy Kids 3D. Yeah.
Oh, my God. But Spy Kids 3D had... Those ones were, like, cool. Because then when Shark Boy and Lava Girl came out, they had four 3D glasses. Two of them were Lava Girl.
Yeah, themed. Lava Girl pink and two Shark Boy blue.
Oh my God.
I remember those.
Oh my God.
It's part of the millennial experience.
Oh, reminiscing now. But yeah, the doctor pulls out. Ah, man, I would have died if he pulled out Shark Boy glasses.
He pulls out it. He pulls out his 3D glasses for reasons we do not see for quite a while.
And this is the first time we've ever seen these, yeah. though.
And I think they might be the last time we ever see these.
Jeez, well, because there's no reason to.
Yeah, unless he's gonna go see a movie.
Yeah. Well, no, because if the movie's not happening in parallel universes, why bother? Wait, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself.
So as the doctor is explaining the problem with the void and how it will rip holes through the universe as people keep traveling through it, the employees, now controlled by the Cybermen, open the hole up anyway, and all the ghosts turn into Cybermen. What I really enjoy was how when they're first there, they're all sort of wandering around. Like, kind of aimlessly. But as soon as they start to come into form, they all form rigid militaristic groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's part of the reason everyone's like, oh, fuck, these are scary. It's not just robots. They're a military force.
They know geometry.
Yeah. They can turn into a square. They're going to kill us.
They're in straight lines, all of them. Oh, my God. They're band geeks.
The Cybermen just pulling out trombones.
My God, though, a Cyberman like color carrier.
Yes. Oh God, just be so funny.
Cyberman color guard. Thank you, brain.
Can you imagine?
Wait, I want to see Cyberman band now.
Cyber band?
That's just Daft Punk.
I guess it would just be Daft Punk, wouldn't
yep.
it?
We should get them a color guard.
Meanwhile, the void ship opens up. As they're opening the script.
Opens up as Rose has wandered into this, has followed
Just a scientist.
Dr. Rajesh, yeah?
I believe so.
Follows Rajesh into this room using the psychic paper to like fool the badge scan.
Yes.
But is unable to use the psychic paper to fool Rajesh.
Yes,
he goes, we have psychic training. This is a blank piece of paper.
Which is the first time we've ever seen someone beat the psychic paper, which is really fun.
Mm-hmm. But it's nice because as soon as she's, quote, under arrest, she looks over and sees Mickey, who, like, gives her a wink and tells her to shush.
Yeah. Which is, like, the slickest we've ever seen Mickey.
Oh, yeah.
He's just acting all smooth. And he's, like, so ready for, like, he's like, I don't know what's in this ship. It's, like, it's got to be the Cyber Leader or Emperor or God of the Cybermen, whatever it is.
He's got guns hiding in the room.
Yeah. And then the void ship opens, and that ain't no Cybermen. Those are four Daleks, including their first time seeing one that is not bronze or copper. A solid black Dalek.
Mm. Shiny, too.
Shiny.
That one was like a patent leather Dalek.
Dalek sec. As we get into the episode two, Doomsday of this part here, and we find out these Daleks have names. And one of the Daleks, in fact, says one of your favorite quotes of the episode pretty much right away.
Designate the least important!
That's so
so fucked up.
Well, because they say designate the least important, but really they want information. And, like, kudos to Rajesh for saying, I represent Torchwood. This is my fault. This is our fault. Like... me, like I'm taking the blow for this one.
Well, the thing, he didn't own up to being the least important. He tried to basically bargain with, like, I can give you information, and they're like, okay, and they suck it out of his brain.
Yeah, and he goes, don't you need me to say it? And they go, no,
kneel before Dalek Sec.
Oh my God! And then they each plunger his fucking noodles out.
One of my favorites was you called out Dalek Thay as a Dalek Thay them.
I just really see it like Dalek Thay, Dalek
Khan.
Which
is funny because he's a Dalek Can.
I realized I could be Dalek Cass. That's only four letters.
That is only four letters.
Indiana Jones. The doctor whose face fucking melts.
Oh, the Nazi scientist?
Yeah.
I don't know. I honestly don't know his name.
Which movie is that, though?
Oh, that's Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah. When the Daleks finish sucking this poor man's...
Yeah, his head is smoking.
I appreciate the use of practical effects, but my God, is that not one of the scariest things I've seen? Where they're done absolutely wrecking this man.
Yes.
And his body thuds to the ground, smoking and completely made of ash.
And as the Daleks have been using their technology, the Cybermen were alerted to it, and they send two of them down. Meanwhile, one Dalek goes out to meet those two, and they proceed to just have their little mean girl session.
That's just so funny.
It's one of my favorite moments. Just start to finish. There's not a bad line in it.
No, it's because you have these two beings that think that they're better than everyone else.
Yes.
Which the only thing that makes them truly different from people is that they're both made of metal. But, you know, there's perks and pros and cons to each. But when you get two beings that are effectively the same, but both have a superiority complex, you get magic. You get comedy gold.
Especially because one of them is right. And that is, the Daleks are right. They are better than the Cybermen in basically every way.
Well, yeah, because at least these ones, they do have individuality. They have names.
Yeah. Well, it's also even more than that, they make it very clear the Cybermen can do very little to the Daleks. Like, it takes so much effort for them to even scratch one of them. Meanwhile, one Dalek can lay waste to an entire platoon with very little issue. Like, these three Daleks just overrun Torchwood, despite it being mostly occupied by Cybermen.
There are four. My favorite is that, I think Rose is the one that points it out, four Daleks. Or no, 5 billion Cybermen are no issue for four Daleks.
But the four Daleks are afraid of one doctor.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that's really
because the Daleks show fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they hear about the doctor, they back up.
Yeah, it's just
yeah, afraid.
Yeah, they each back up like
afraid.
They each back up like 6 inches, like they just said, like she just burped in their faces or something.
Like they are in Harry Potter and somebody said Voldemort.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really fun to watch. Rose has like really, she's also gained a really strong sense of confidence.
Well, yeah, because she's also seen the inside of the, not inside of the TARDIS, but like the inside of the TARDIS.
Yeah, you had made a point earlier in this episode that Rose gets captured a lot, but the thing that they've done to make it interesting is now Rose is really good at being captured.
Because I wrote it down at one point, Detective Rose.
Yeah, she's like she's really good at knowing what her leverage is and how to talk to people who take her captive. So there is still the issue of like the lady gets caught, but there's something really interesting about finding a way to make that still interesting and engaging.
Well, particularly in this case, she gets caught, but this is not the first time she's been trapped in a room with Dalek.
Yeah. So the Daleks are apparently trying to get one of these time travelers to activate the, what they call the Genesis Arc. Because it needs to function very similarly to how the Daleks function in Dalek, where they need the background radiation off of a time traveler. And I guess they just don't want to come out of their suits because they're in there. They could just like...
Aren't they time travelers, technically?
They are time travelers, yes.
But they're extremely vulnerable. Why would you want to when you can threaten people with your whisk hand and toilet plunger?
I have to assume that's the main reason why, is just because they are so like... They're just squishy squid things.
They're just little guys. They're so small. They're so scared. That's just a scared little squid monster in there, Zach.
Aww. Just a little pet.
It's just, we could get him a tank. Let him live.
But instead of getting, because they could use Rose or Mickey, because Mickey's also traveled in time now.
Well, yeah, but that's a point that Rose brings up, because she's like, oh, yeah, like, I'm important to them. But then she recognizes, like, oh, shit. Mickey's also time traveled.
But instead of either of them doing that, the Doctor shows up and declares these four the Cult of Skarrow, a cult of fanatics that are basically allowed to live outside of Dalek culture by, you know, having names and getting to do other things in the pursuit of finding better ways of killing.
I really wish they had cool, like, if they live outside of Dalek culture, they have, like, pinstripes or flames painted on them.
I mean, that have one of them is black, so that's
very Fast and Furious.
Yeah, one of them is all black, so in a way that's sort of the case.
But before we even get to that, we do have a very interesting Pete Tyler versus Doctor moment.
Oh, you're right. I did forget that was beforehand. Yeah. Pete Tyler shows up with the rest of Mickey's crew, I guess, or the People's Republic, I think is what they call it.
With a K. Is that how you spell Republic?
No, you spell it with a C, generally.
Huh.
There might be a different usage when it's with a K, but I don't know that offhand. And Pete takes the Doctor briefly back to Pete's world, and they have a little argument over
Pete's world. Party time. Excellent. We should call it that. Pete's world.
Yeah, I misremembered it. I could have sworn that was just like what the fans called it.
No.
I forgot that was a thing that came up actually in the episode.
Yeah.
And so Pete doesn't take the Doctor back. Jake takes the Doctor back and Pete is there.
Yeah.
And so they basically just exposition their way through the argument until Pete starts pointing out that, hey, our ice caps are melting even faster than they're supposed to. Everyone thinks that we're at like world peace because Harriet Jones is in charge. If you remember Harriet.
Of course I remember Harriet, that backstabbing bitch.
And so she's now the president of the UK.
Better keep an eye on that one.
Yeah. And so Pete wants to try and save his planet by basically keeping the Cybermen out. But the Doctor makes the very obvious point that the Cybermen can't really live in the other one either. And so they can't keep teleporting back and forth. You're going to destroy both Earths doing that.
Yeah, because every time they teleport, things get a little worse.
They put another hole in the Swiss cheese.
Mm.
Then the Doctor goes and fights, goes and introduces himself to the Cult of Skarrow. The Cult of Skarrow do come back, first of all. You know, those boys come back next season, in fact.
I'll write that down for future casts.
Skarrow is also the name of the Dalek planet.
Well, return.
Skarrow is the name of the planet the Daleks are from, where you'll find that out, actually, when we watch Genesis of the Daleks soon. So that will be your first episode after we get through the Runaway Bride.
Runaway Bride with Catherine Tate. Yes. Or is it Christine? It's Catherine. It's Catherine. Yay.
And so the Doctor, after basically talking a whole lot, opens the doors and the Cybermen and humans come in shooting. And anyway, they start blasting.
Everybody is shooting.
Yeah.
Because for a split second, I was wondering if the Cybermen had teamed up with...
It really looked like it for a minute, too. But I think it was just they came in from opposite sides.
Either they came in from opposite sides or the People's Republic led the Cybermen to those doors.
Yeah.
With the fully knowing, like... Shit's about to go down. We lead them here. They start shooting. We get out.
Yes, but then the unfortunate ensuing chaos, Mickey pushes his hand against the Genesis Arc, activating it.
But the Doctor doesn't get upset with him for it. He goes, you know what? It's a good thing you did that, because otherwise they would have blown up the sun. So
yeah, they would have pried it open another way, probably by blowing up the sun. And so the Doctor gives him a big smooch on the head.
Which... Hey,
character growth.
It is. It truly, and he calls him Mickey.
Mickey.
He calls him his actual name.
He does. In fact, he repeats the M many times just to emphasize it.
Mickey, Mickey, nice to see ya.
And you, boss.
That's growth.
It is growth. It's character growth for both of them. I'm glad we can watch men heal on TV.
Yeah, and not be weirdly sexist towards one another.
Yeah.
Hmm.
The Daleks start carrying the Genesis Arc through Torchwood, just killing everything in sight.
Well, because it needs a radius of 30 miles, and they say, outside!
Let us go sunning! I need to work on my tan!
It is lizard time!
Find a hot rock.
And so when the Daleks do finally get it outside, the Doctor, because they're told it's Time Lord technology, it is not...
But the Doctor doesn't recognize it,
yeah.
Because it isn't Time Lord technology.
Yeah, because the Time Lords, I guess, shoved a bunch of Daleks in it.
Well, it's Time Lord technology in the same sense that the TARDIS is. It's bigger on the inside.
Yeah, it's bigger on the inside, and it's holding millions of Daleks. And I guess were they just, like, lined up at the door? Like, ready to go? Because they just, like, spit out like it's an Uno attack machine.
Well, because they had the one, like, the one right at the door. And
the one at the door. Hey, guys, they've opened the door. Come.
Freedom. Freedom. It's kind of like when you open up or you unlock the door to go out into the backyard and both cats are already there. They heard the door open and every Dalek bolted.
And so the Daleks just start spitting out, pouring over the world, shooting at everything.
Not the world, just London.
No, there are
millions of... Well, they're starting in London because there's
they're over London for sure.
Yeah.
So.
And they just start spreading.
And then they start shooting both Cybermen and human alike. And which makes me wonder, what the fuck are those humans still doing out?
Hey, it's because the humans were told to go inside by the newscasters, but we saw the Cybermen were already in the fucking houses.
Yeah, but just like...
When you aren't safe inside or outside...
You're just going to go about your day, I suppose.
Fucking
because it just looked like they were still shopping. I'm like, what are you...
Hide in the bushes. I mean, hey, so the other day when we had our little earthquake here, do you know what my reaction to that was?
What was that?
I was in the middle of pouring a drink because, for context, if you keep this in the episode, I'm a barista, so I pour a lot of drinks. I'm pouring my latte art. I feel the earth start shaking. I pause and think for about maybe half a second. Should I hide? Should I go under the counter? I should just wait it out because I have to finish doing my thing. So if you are actively being shot at, when your world is in peril, I've learned that the common reaction for most people is to just kind of stand by and wait for it to be over.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what everybody else's thoughts were. I'll just duck behind the staircase and just kind of wait for it to stop.
So maybe that's what they were doing. Maybe they were just like, I'm just going to keep whatever happens, happens. I mean, we did watch a bunch of people who willingly exposed themselves to a killer disease because they thought they would outlive it. Maybe that's just them. Maybe that's the same idea, is they thought they could outlive double alien invasion.
Or it's the thought of like, hey, if this is how the world ends, just take me out now.
Yeah.
Especially since this is not the first time in London that people have been running for their lives.
Yeah, maybe at this point they're just like, man, fuck it, whatever.
Because...
Aliens invade must be Tuesday.
Well, because the first one were the scary mannequin monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was... The 9/11 Big Ben clock. Not the Slee Slack.
Slitheen.
Ugh. Was that the same? Was that 9/11 Big Ben clock?
That was Big Ben clock, yes.
Okay, so I've already checked that off. What other horrible, horrible atrocities has there been? Oh, Christmas trees. Santa Claus.
Yeah, the Christmas trees. Yeah, absolutely. The Sycorax. Sycorax.
Scary.
The muscle people.
So at the very least, this is number four. This is the fourth time these exact people, these Londoners,
mm-hmm.
have had to deal with life or death situations. So I think at that point, my thoughts would also be, oh man, not again. You don't understand the scale of the situation that you're in until you're out of it.
Speaking of getting out of it, the Doctor comes up with a plan to basically let the void suck everyone back in for him. Everyone that's got covered in void stuff that traveled through.
Which, conveniently enough, all the Cybermen and all the Daleks, baby.
All the Cybermen, all the Daleks, but also everyone from Pete's world.
And himself and Rose.
And himself, Rose, and Mickey. All of them have that.
Well, because Mickey's also...
Now, Mickey now lives in Pete's world, but, you know, he's technically from, you know, the main world. But either way, the important thing is that the Doctor comes up with this plan, so they basically they have to take all their little laser tag necklaces to teleport back to Pete's world, while they'll be safe.
There's something... They're very video gamey, their little...
And they're just on like a
chain.
Yeah, not even like a nice chain. It just looks like not even like a bike chain. It's just like
why are the buttons so big?
Right,
like that's such an easy button to hit.
Like accidentally.
Yes,
that's why I keep calling it a laser tag thing because that's what it looks like.
It's fuck. What are those things from Tron?
The discs.
They're light discs. Yeah.
Yeah,
because in Tron, too, those are so big. They're so easy to hit. But you can also chug them across the room. Maybe these are like Frisbees. Maybe that's the thing, is not only are these time travel or parallel universe traveling things, they can also be used as toys and entertainment.
That was what they were. They bought a bunch of toys in bulk and then just shoved the tech inside.
Yeah. They heard that Toys R Us was going out of business.
Yeah. So the doctor basically says that Rose has to go to this other parallel universe, and that's where she'll stay because otherwise she'll get sucked into the void. And so the doctor even basically tricks Rose, like sneaks up behind her and wraps the necklace around her, and then Pete pushes the button and teleports them all away. To which Rose then is like, fuck this, and teleports herself right back. And of course,
she's stubborn.
Jackie is not happy about that.
No.
Pete is like, no, we're staying here. We cannot
go
back. Which
also, we did gloss over. We did jump over. What I think is one of the most heartwarming.
Yeah, I did skip over this. Go on.
Other note. I have but four notes, and one of them is interdimensional parent trap.
Yeah, they're... Pete and Jackie see each other for the first time.
Because up until this point, Pete is very much, that is not my wife. My Jackie is dead. Yes. She died. She didn't die. She was turned into Cybermen. But for lack of a better term,
dead. Yeah.
She died.
And even then, they killed those Cybermen. So that Cyberman is probably dead.
Well, yeah, but there was no part of Jackie left.
Yes.
Yeah, he's very adamant. That is not my wife. That is not my daughter. I am from a different planet. They are from a different planet.
Yeah, and then...
But as soon as they see each other, after Jackie is running for her life through the stairwell, which I think this is one of the only times you've ever seen Jackie actually be competent.
Yeah.
Because she seizes the opportunity when the Cybermen are distracted to escape assimilation.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Yvonne Hartman. She gets assimilated.
She does. Repeating the phrase, I did my duty for queen and country.
I did my duty. I did my duty. I did my duty.
Which after a while, it did just sound like she meant she shit her pants.
Yeah. I mean, I would.
She probably did. Yeah. Yeah. Jackie apparently goes down like 45 flights of steps is what she says.
I don't know. Well, cause she says she's in N3, which is, you know.
Yeah,
the North Staircase.
When they talk about going back up, Jackie makes the point that that's like 45 floors up. I know, I've been down them all.
I missed that. That's funny.
But yeah, Jackie at first is like...
But she saves herself. She actually does a very good job at keeping herself alive.
Yeah, she does. Especially because we've seen versions of her where she's not very good at that.
No.
Like in the first episode, she's like, I'm just going to go shopping. Hope that's okay. And then she just like kind of just hopes the mannequins don't kill her when they find her then. But now she's really good at like dodging away. She's gained a better...
She understands.
Yeah, she's gained a better sense of self-preservation. And...
Well, especially in matters concerning the doctor.
Yes. And
her,
so,
quote, big man. Plants kiss directly on mouth.
Yeah.
I didn't forget about that.
I did forget about that a little bit.
I did not. I wrote that note down too.
And then the Jackie at first thinks Jackie was like, I've seen ghosts today. This isn't fair.
Dead. You've been dead.
Yeah. And the doctor starts explaining what the concept of parallel dimensions are.
It's Pete from a different universe. There are parallel worlds, Jackie. Every single decision we make creates a parallel existence, a different dimension where...
Oh, you can shut up.
And Pete does the, Pete starts doing the very, like, you're not my wife. You're like, I my wife is dead. I'm not your Pete. Oh, fuck it. And they like run, and they run into one another to smooch. I really enjoy that Jackie like literally jumps up and like is off the ground.
She,
it looks like she's trying to like wrap her legs around him, but her jeans prevent her from doing that.
My favorite is Rose is in the corner just like doing the like excited mom. I can only refer to it as like the excited mom thing of just like covering, you cover your face with your
the,
hands.
The Stefan from SNL face.
Yeah, just, ugh. Just, I'm so delighted. And then Mickey's just casually leaning up against the wall, like, just has this, like, impish smirk.
So, yes.
Because I'm sure, I am 100% sure that he was telling this Pete Tyler all about Jackie, because for a minute it was, like, Mickey and Jackie.
Yeah.
They were buds.
Yeah, now it's, then it was Mickey and Pete, and now it's Mickey and kind of nobody, I guess. Mickey and Jake.
Yeah. Well, because that was the thing, too, is he was like, or she, Jackie had made the comment about how she never remarried. There was never anybody else, which, yes and no.
Yeah, Jackie definitely tried a few other men.
Well, she slept around, but she didn't marry anybody else.
Didn't marry anybody else. Didn't seem to really have a set boyfriend either.
No, it's always been Pete.
Yeah. Which is really sweet, especially when you go back and you see that Jackie still kind of mistreated him in Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
That you know that with hindsight, she has grown to appreciate Pete.
Mm-hmm. Well, because I don't even think she knows that this Pete is rich.
Oh, no. Pete says, I'm rich now. And she's like, that doesn't matter. How rich?
In my world, it worked. All those daft little plans of mine, they worked. Maybe rich.
I don't care about that. How rich?
Very.
I don't care about that. How very?
Well, because it's just nice because for years Jackie thought that, like, Pete had left and that he abandoned her and Rose. But knowing what she knows now and understanding that that narrative that she had taught herself and that she had been believing for 19 years was flawed and was wrong. And now she gets to kind of make up for that and make up for lost time with a version of her husband that is not a failure.
Yeah.
Which was one of the things that she was upset about. And, you know, this is kind of the best of, the best of both worlds, Pete. He is physically the same person, personality-wise the same person, but this Pete succeeded.
He succeeded. He's also grown a lot because he clearly, like, wasn't just... He was a bit of a con artist, but, you know, he was working with this underground resistance, and especially after the Cybermen attack, he was really working with the People's Republic. He seems like he's maybe not in charge, but certainly kind of high-ranking.
At the very least, he is the, I feel that he would be whatever the business equivalent of a producer is.
Yeah.
He's the money guy.
Yeah. The CFO.
Yeah.
And so, getting back on track, they teleport to Pete's world and Rose then immediately is like, fuck this shit. I'm out.
I can teleport back, bitches.
Yeah. And so she does. And, you know, Jackie obviously wants to go back and get Rose, but Pete, to benefit the story, is like, no, we're not going to do this yo-yo back and forth for a little bit. Instead, he takes Jackie's thing away from her, and they have to take Jackie away, and Jackie's pissed, understandably, because, and it, they do sell it pretty well that Pete, you know, it's not, Rose isn't Pete's daughter. Jackie was Pete's wife, but to Pete, Rose was a dog.
Yeah. Rose was a Yorkshire Terrier.
Yes. And he has his Yorkshire Terrier in the form of Jackie. When Rose teleports back, they work together on this plan, which I guess probably always needed two people, considering that the machine that opens the ghost shift rift, the shift rift, needs two people to pull the levers.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the doctor planned on doing. I don't know if he had secret stretchy arms.
Secret stretchy arms, or he knew that Rose was going to do that.
Yeah. So they open the rift together. And so immediately all of the Cybermen and Daleks start getting yoinked in
like pinballs.
Yeah. Like the fastest speed. I joked that Yakety Sax could start playing with just how silly it looks for to have
my
them.
God,
like,
God, I didn't know that Daleks had so many jiggle physics involved. It's so funny.
They're just being sucked into.
Why do they have to bounce off the walls so much?
Sucked into the window. Like it looks like a funnel.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the Cybermen start coming in.
They're so entertaining.
I don't know if you caught, but Dalek Sek realizes they're fucked and makes an emergency time jump.
Yeah.
So they're elsewhere for a little bit, which is
great. They'll be back.
Yeah, they'll be back, as I've already explained. Meanwhile, they all just get sucked in, and unfortunately, the lever on Rose's side starts to fall down a little bit, and so she has to reach over and open it back up again. But in doing so, starts to fall into the hole, and you get this nice slow-mo no! from everybody involved until Pete flashes back for like a split second to catch her and then teleport away conveniently with the thing he took from Jackie, which was kind of cute.
Which I love that.
Yeah, because you can't teleport. Everybody has to have their own device. So mm-hmm. they cheesed it by having him take Jackie's. I thought that was really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But now Rose is trapped in Pete's world with no way of coming back.
Devastated.
Yeah, the devices don't work anymore.
Absolutely wrecked.
Yeah.
You can tell that this was 2006?
This was 2006, yes.
Because there are so many streaks through her makeup of actual tears.
Yeah, through the makeup, her like mascara is clearly like streaking from it too. She's so mortified. And meanwhile, the doctor is just like stone-faced. Like, not that he's not sad. He's just experiencing his sadness in a very reserved way.
Well, because at this point, they're both in a state of grief.
And I think there's a part where the doctor, because earlier when the doctor had first pitched that, you know, Rose was going to have to go to this other world, he was making a very similar stone face that Rose was really upset about. And so the doctor, I think he had already sort of had to accept that this was going to happen. This was the best case scenario. There was no version of this in his mind where Rose wasn't going to be stuck elsewhere.
Well, particularly when the decision is made, or the only solution that makes sense and that will eradicate both Cybermen and Dalek is basically void vacuum.
Yeah.
Like that is
Voidcume?
Vacoid. That is the sacrifice that he is making.
Mm-hmm.
Is that he could very well also get sucked in. But it's the sacrifice as well that he is going to be losing not everything. He still has the TARDIS, but you know, it's been the Doctor and Rose forever and ever.
Yeah. 100 years, Doctor and Rose. And it isn't anymore. Instead it was 2 years.
Yeah.
And so Rose has been sucked into the parallel universe, and they have this really nice moment where the Doctor and Rose both touch the same wall in parallel universes, and it seems like they can feel one another. You look at that and you're like, no wonder Tumblr ran away with this shit.
Oh my God. And it really doesn't help that the way that Billy Piper is written,
mm-hmm.
and the way that Billy Piper performs this and the way that Rose is written,
mm-hmm.
is very, very Twilight and very like teen novel. Because Twilight, I think, came out in 2004. Like it didn't actually get traction until the other books came out,
mm-hmm.
but I could make this whole podcast about Twilight, but the point is that this was rife, like right at the beginning of this like era of girl, like mm-hmm. tween girl starting to get all feelings and all emotionally,
mm-hmm.
can resonate with somebody who isn't necessarily their age, but you know, you have big feelings when you're a tween.
Mm-hmm.
And there is somebody who, there are two attractive people, one of which you can identify with and say, oh my God, this is it. This is me. I'm her.
And the other one is like a tall, lanky, skinny boy with like a big grin and a big wink.
A boyish energy.
Yeah, boyish energy.
Despite being
and a machine that can take you off to anywhere.
Yeah, despite being a man.
Yeah.
Is the boy. I even said multiple times, aw, what a good boy. What a sad boy. Because David Tennant does have lots of boyish energy.
Yeah. One of the things that I remember is back in Tooth and Claw, the doctor is like telling Queen Victoria to run, and his way of like demonstrating it is by hopping up and down in place.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend a light jog. That's one of the first times you're like, oh, this doctor's got like a lot of energy that Eccleston, not that he didn't have it, but he exuded it in a very different way. His was a very like almost more traditionally masculine kind of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Which I suppose comes from the very like soldier persona that he took on.
Yeah. But yeah, the first Twilight book came out in 2005.
Yeah, so Rose just has to live without the doctor for several months.
Mm-hmm.
Until she starts having a dream of his voice.
She can just hear his voice repeating her name.
Yeah, then she has to follow it all the way to Norway.
In what is translated to be Bad Wolf Bay.
Yeah, and the doctor projects an image of himself through the last crack in the universe he can find.
For 2 minutes.
Where he's apparently burning up a sun just to say goodbye. Which,
yeah, he's...
what a Tumblr-ass fanfiction.net sentence.
Oh my god. AO3-ass so dialogue. I want you to blow up a sun for me.
Leave a whole system in darkness,
Zach,
and cold.
Zach, can you destroy two worlds for me?
Two worlds?
Yeah. We could just ruin two universes so we can be together.
Yeah, and then...
I like that Rose proposes that, but then immediately knows, like, no, I can't do that.
Yeah. I mean, she proposes it because it's what she to get what she wants, but I don't think she really means it. I think it's just...
No, it's... Yeah, it's
she's dealing with a lot of emotions in that moment, and it came out
relatable.
And she finally tells the doctor that she loves him, and the doctor's response is quite right too.
And then they run out of time.
And yeah,
they run out of time, Zach.
And then the doctor
they spent the 2 minutes going back and forth on if she said Dalek or Dalig.
Yeah, and so the doctor vanishes before her. Presumably he's about to say I love you, but we actually don't know what he's going to say.
We don't!
We
just see him crying.
Yeah, we cut back to him with one lone tear tracing down his right cheek before one joins on the left cheek.
Oh my god, that's happened though so many times in this episode where one tear rolls down somebody's cheek, because it even happened with Yvonne Hartman's Cyberman I don't know if you caught it.
Yeah.
She protects them.
Yeah, she starts...
She's the only Cyberman with some semblance of who she was by repeating for queen and for country.
Yeah, for queen and
country. As a single tear rolls down her
metal
cheek.
A single tear of oil?
Ichor?
Coolant?
Maybe. I don't know. Is it Coca-Cola?
Yeah, so that was a cute moment. And then, as the doctor fades away from Rose... There's a strange woman in his TARDIS.
Well, she has a really sweet moment where then she runs into Jackie's arms.
That is a good visual for character growth, because we saw at the very first episode, she ran to the doctor and now she's running back to Jackie. And while she certainly would run back to the doctor if she was able to, it's nice that she still has that. It's nice that she's gotten to the point where she isn't running from her life.
Yeah, like she's safe now.
Yeah, she's going to do the one adventure the doctor can't have, which is
have a life.
Yeah, to live an ordinary life. And then as the doctor fades away from that crack in the universe, there's a strange woman in his TARDIS
in a
wedding dress and veil, who is very angry. And all he could say is,
"What? Who are you? Where am I?
What?
What the hell is this place?
What?
Catherine Tate! Woo!
Yeah, Catherine Tate will be in the next special, the Runaway Bride.
Woo!
I think this will be interesting for you because you've not had a Doctor Who without Rose.
No, but
in fact, Rose was introduced basically as the main character for you.
Mm-hmm.
She was the first face you saw, and she's in this other universe now. We go on with other companions. And so, how are you feeling about letting Rose go?
Very sad, but I'm also very excited for Catherine Tate
because mm-hmm.
she's one of the only companions that I actually am familiar with. Not from Doctor Who, though, because she, after Michael Scott or Steve Carell left the office as Michael Scott,
mm-hmm.
they went through like basically until the show ends, they cycle in other actors to fill in the void.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, nobody is able to. It just becomes a very ensemble. Not that Michael Scott is by any means the main character.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Scott has main character energy, though, but with him gone, there's this weird, like, character vacuum that happens. And so, lots of other actors come in and offer different character types. That's mm-hmm. where you get...
A new spice to flavor up the
That's where you
mixing.
Get your Kathy Bates, like, very strong woman with... two very misbehaved Great Danes, and she's the owner of this company. You get your...
is that Robert California?
It is Robert California. I'm blanking out on his
James
actual
Spader.
Name. James Spader. That's where you get Robert California as the, like, new office manager. You get Catherine Tate as... I'm forgetting her. I think she doesn't know her own role in the show, but... that's how I know her is, I believe her name is Millie.
All right.
Even when it was very funny because during that time when she was introduced, my dad was like, oh, I don't recognize her. Like, I don't even know what she's from. Like, oh, she's just some British actor. And we were like, yeah, just some British actor. Not having any idea.
Yep.
Why she was cast, understanding very slowly, like, oh, cool, she's one of their, like, comedic actors
mm-hmm.
trying to...
I would also say Catherine Tate is a very successful comedian in the UK. She had her own show. She had the Catherine Tate Show.
Well, yes, but when you are a white family...
Fair.
When your understanding of television is from 1964... and on, but almost exclusively American-made television.
Yeah, I think that's what you mean more than a white family. You mean an American family.
Yeah, and a very American family.
Yeah.
But I'm excited because I really liked her character in The Office. I liked a lot of the choice, like, actory choices
mm-hmm.
she made.
David Tennant and Catherine Tate fucking love each other.
That's why, because I'm like, I would be shocked if a little bit of... her character in The Office wasn't inspired by Companion.
Well, I guess we'll find out together next time when we watch
The
Runaway Bride on Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed?
Good night.
Good night. And that is a wrap on Series 2, depending on how you count Christmas specials. I want to give a quick correction to some things I said in the last episode. I had misremembered a few things about Susan's departure. For one, the Dalek invasion was in the 22nd century, not a year that has already passed. I don't know where I got that from, it was just how it was stored in my head. And also, when Susan comes back in The Five Doctors, that is a continuation of her story. I had misremembered her having been plucked from her timeline. That just happened to the First Doctor. I had just been speaking off the cuff and didn't prepare to talk about that, or I would have double-checked my memory beforehand. Anyway, I take great pride in the show conveying accurate information, and if you value podcast honesty, be sure to give us a like or 5 stars on your podcast platform of preference. Please share us with any friends, loved ones, enemies, kidnapped victims, handsome strangers, or talking chipmunks you think might enjoy this podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky, and Instagram at WimDPod. That's WIMDPOD. It's springtime for Christmas next week as we watch The Runaway Bride, so we'll see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Whose Days.